When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Episode 75, countdown to 5. Hey Chainers, welcome to another edition of Chain of Wealth. I'm your host, Dennis O'Brien.
And I'm Katie Welsh.
So Katie, have you ever had a moment where you meet someone and you feel like their situation is exactly like yours?
I feel like the podcast countdown to FI, it was like talking to ourselves.
Yeah, it was kind of freaky in a way. So I'm very techie. He's very techie. You're very editing podcast. She's very editing podcast.
Well, no, hold on. No, that's not how it is. He had the idea. You had the idea for a podcast. She ended up having to edit everything. I ended up having to edit everything.
Yeah, so definitely interesting. But they had a really cool story as well.
And they've paid off a ton of debt and they're on the right. They're really on the right track to FI. And seeing how we are so similar to them, just how our relationship is.
Right.
It was really, really nice to see that the road that they're headed on.
You know, something with being in the personal finance space that's really been enlightening is sort of when you immerse yourself in something, you get to learn all about its topic area, you know? So like us being in the personal finance space, like I inherently know a lot about finance from like doing all my accounting degrees and everything else. And, you know, but in terms of personal finance, it's still a very different space. And I know I've learned a ton, and it sounds like they've learned a ton as well. So. And
I've definitely learned a ton.
You've learned a huge amount. But yeah, like I think just as a, you know, heads up for anyone out there, if you're trying to get better at something, try and immerse yourself in the field, you know.
And it doesn't have to be personal finance.
No, it can be whatever it is. Anything you want to get better at, try and, you know, start a podcast, you know. Get to talk to industry experts and you'll quickly learn a lot of insider secrets that you never know about in the industry.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, anyway, I digress. Shall we dive right into our interview?
Yes.
Awesome. Let's do it.
Welcome to Chain of Wealth. Here's your host, Dennis, inspiring you to begin your journey of financial freedom.
Hey, Chainers. Welcome to another edition of Chain of Wealth. Today we have Countdown to FI with us. Countdown to FI is a personal finance blog and podcast run by a dynamic duo couple. They are anonymous bloggers that talk about their life out in the West, raising a family, getting out of debt, and achieving financial independence. Welcome,
hey guys.
Whoa, thank you.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having us, guys.
Yeah, of course. So you're kind of a new blog. Where did the idea of your blog and podcast come from?
That's Mr. CTFs.
So while I was delivering pizzas as my side hustle I did that for a year and a half. And I listened to a lot of podcasts during that time, like specifically financial independence podcasts. And after listening for so long, you know, for some of your folks probably listened to quite a number of different podcasts, you start getting ideas of your own, like, oh, I could talk about this. I could talk about this. There's angles of topics that you want to tackle that you don't really hear being talked about a ton and different ways to do it. So I kind of thought, well, I think it would be fun to tell our story through audio format mostly. And we do a little bit of blogging, but we don't publish, well, obviously, as many articles as we do podcast episodes. So we mostly have been focused on the audio side of things since we started. But we started right at the beginning of 2018, so we're about 6 months in.
Fantastic. And also, obviously, doing the whole audio thing, it's a lot more conversational.
Yeah.
We try to anyway. So, Mrs. CTF, I know when we started our podcast, Dennis kind of came home and he was like, casually over dinner, he was like, oh, and by the way, I think we should start a podcast. And I was just like starving and like not really listening to what he was talking about. And then later it hit me and I was like, what do you want to do? Like, how did he approach it to you? Were you like totally on board? Like, yeah, let's do it. Or
I was not on board. He's like, let's start a podcast. And I'm like, that sounds like a terrible idea. And then he's persistent. So then like, or like the next like few weeks, he's like, we're going to start a podcast. I'm like, no one will listen. Like, I don't see why would we do a podcast? I don't listen to podcasts much myself, but and then one day he's like, oh, by the way, I bought the microphone. So we're starting next week. And I'm like, are you serious?
But this is like the exact same story
as
us.
You're actually quite lucky because Dennis had bought the one microphone. He was like, well, I hate to tell you, but the microphones come tomorrow. And I was like, what?
Yeah, but I've gotten on board with it now as we get along, as we go farther along. And yeah, it's good now.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I took a little bit of time to come around. And naturally, you are doing all the editing for your podcast too, right?
Yes, I am.
It's funny how that works out, isn't it?
Like, it is.
It's their idea, and yet we're doing all the work. Like, how did that happen?
I used to use the phrase all the time, your podcast. I'm like, here I am editing your podcast. Mm-hmm. But that phrase doesn't come out too much anymore. So
Yeah.
It definitely becomes a teamwork thing.
Yeah.
So you decided to ride your bicycle to work, and at first you were struggling a bit. Are you still riding, and has it gotten any easier?
Yeah, so as far as the biking thing goes, it's kind of become my religion now. I went down the rabbit hole on that, and actually we just went down to one car as a household yesterday. So, and a big reason for that is because I'm riding my bike at the minimum 4 days a week, and in quite a number of weeks, I've been doing all five work days.
Wow.
But we live in a place that gets a pretty decent winter from, you know, December through March-ish.
April.
And so I started in January initially biking when we were seeing temperatures of about 15 to 20 degrees in the morning time. And so that was more of a struggle then because there was ice, snow, and really cold temperature. So, you know, since April, it's actually not been really bad at all, although there's more bugs out, there's more people out in general.
Right.
But it actually has gotten a lot easier over the months. And actually, I think I wrote about this on either Twitter or the blog, but I actually feel way better when I bike to work than I ever do in a car. So if I have to take the car to work, I actually don't really get rolling until like 11 a.m. usually, like feeling pretty good. So I think it's been a huge benefit. And I really wish more people would do it, although I do understand the limitations depending on where you live specifically. But I think a lot more people could do it than are doing it. Let's say that.
Yeah, when I read about that you were biking to work, it kind of reminded me, actually, your entire blog reminded me of me and Dennis, because we've also been talking about Dennis skipping the metro and buying a bike and riding to work. So I wanted to kind of see how that was going for you. So
yeah, it's going great. I really love it. It's fun, and I'm saving up for a little nicer bike now. Because my first one was from a big box store, and so I've kind of got to be an elitist about it. Although I'm not wearing the Lance Armstrong outfit yet. So
you have something to strive for.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Baby steps at first.
it's kind of hard to wear the tight stuff when you have dad bod going on, you know. So I'm trying to get there, but we'll see.
Well, if you keep biking to work, you won't have a dad bod for long.
Well, we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, that's true. How far is the cycle?
It's 8 miles each way, so it's about 16 miles round trip.
That's still a good distance to be cycling every morning.
Yeah, it's not bad. Some people think I'm nuts when I tell them, like, they just don't understand at all, and I think it makes them uncomfortable, honestly. But it's a good little distance, though.
Well, and I think in certain areas it's a little bit more less common. When I lived in Florida, I didn't know anybody who didn't drive to work, and here I feel like we've talked to quite a few people who ride bikes.
Yeah,
it's much more like private, or not private, much more public transportation and walking and everything here. Whereas where I came from, it was like, if you don't have a car, you know, what is wrong with you?
And that was Florida, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's really no excuse then, right? Because it's 75 every day, or?
No, it's like
it's more like 100. Maybe that's why you don't want to cycle.
It's 75 and like nice out, but it's like 150% humidity.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Sometimes you can't even breathe. And like, I would have liked to ride my bike to work, but I worked like 40 minutes away by car. Like in Florida, it's hard. At least where I lived, because everything was so far. Like, you have to drive to everything.
Mm-hmm. We're similar where we are, honestly.
Yeah. So if you're lucky and you can live by where you work, I would definitely have done that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we had to do, really, at the end of the day, is move locations. So mm-hmm. Works better now, for sure.
So I know we talked about it a little bit before, but going back to your podcast, what kind of, like, has it taught you anything about life or anything, like a new skill or anything when it comes to starting your podcast? Because, like, it's kind of tough to just start. Like, the learning curve, I felt like, for us, at least, was pretty, pretty steep. What did you guys think?
Yeah. When we started, we had no idea what we were doing. So that was a very, very steep learning curve of figuring out how to edit, figuring out what the heck was wrong when, you know, it wasn't pulling the audio from the microphone or Skype wasn't working. And then also with the blog, I'd never blogged or built a website before. So it was a very, very steep learning curve. But I mean, there's tons and tons of stuff out there. There's tons of stuff on Google.
Right.
Anytime I have an issue, I just go to Google University and I can pretty much figure out somebody has had this issue somewhere. So
And then
I've actually, at my job, I've become responsible for a website. I don't know. I probably, because I'm the only millennial that was in the room when they had this idea for a website. So it actually ended up helping me in my other job, because now they think I'm like, I don't know, some techie millennial now, because oh yeah, I know what's wrong with this. I know why this isn't working. Let me just go in here and fix that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I know when we first started our podcast and blog, like right when you hit publish, like I thought like 1,000 people were going to be reading my posts and we were going to have like all these downloads and everything. And then like reality hit and like, it was not like that at all.
It's just zero. And you hit refresh and it's now one. And you're like, okay, I'm the only person.
And then it's like, then you call your mom like, will you at least listen? And she's like, oh, honey, I'm busy. I'll do it later.
I don't have time for that.
Well, we have a funny story about that, because we're on the same boat. I mean, I had nightmares about the podcast for the first week, and well, like dreams and nightmares. So I was like, I had dreams where I'd log in to Libsyn and it would say like 10,000 downloads. I'm like, oh my God, I knew it. And then I wake up and log in and it was like 10, you know, and I was like, oh, well, we'll get there eventually. But one of our friends knows about the podcast and he downloads it and he keeps telling us, well, I'm going to download it on a bunch of different usernames to boost your numbers. And we're like, don't, please. And we barely feel good about what we've got. We don't need fake numbers in there.
But yeah, I think I had like the opposite though, because Mr. CTF was going on about, you know, I have this goal of, I don't remember what it was, of this many downloads. And I was like, dude, I'm going to be happy if we have like 112 downloads. If we have 112 downloads by the end of the year, I'll be good. And he's like, what? It's not worth it with that. I was like, hey, that means two people were listening.
Well,
like,
my goal was 25,000 downloads in a year. And the only reason I set that goal, because I obviously had no idea, but I'd seen so many people on Twitter that were podcasting, and like after 4 months, they're like, 500,000 downloads, celebrate. So I was like, surely we could get 25,000, but I don't know. It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah.
It's definitely a struggle.
The promotion side is the interesting side. How do you get people to listen to your show and find it?
And basically we go around and just tell people, like, I chirp Chain of Wealth all the time, even at my side job. Like, I hear people like, oh yeah, I love podcasts. I'm like, really? Because I have a personal finance podcast you can listen to. Like, I'm shameless. It's actually to a point where it's a little bit embarrassing. Like, yeah. I was in Florida the other day and I told somebody, and my mom was kind of like, oh God, it's like the third person you've said today.
You have a business card you just hand out at the Burger King.
I should. We've actually thought about like taking, like making shirts and just like handing them out to strangers on the street.
Yeah, whatever you got to do, right?
Yeah,
yep, that's it.
Yeah, it's been fun though. I think one thing I was going to say about that is I think it teaches you like everything in life teaches this. If you jump into new things, you know, regardless of what that new thing is, it teaches you a couple things. So number one, I think the fear you had around it becomes less and less as you go along. And number two is you have to have persistence in almost anything that's new, because if you don't persist into it, you're eventually, and this is why you see such high failure rates, like blogs, for example. I think like in podcasts, like I think I read when I was starting, the average podcast gets like 6 episodes in before they cancel and they stop doing it. And so I can see how that could be the case when you put out 6 shows that probably takes a lot of time to lead up to that. And you start, you know, getting 10 downloads a day or less. And I can see people getting super discouraged. So I think it's those two that I took away, really.
Definitely. And it's also about the long-term play as well. You know, you have to sort of realize that when you write down 25,000 downloads as a goal, that's a goal. It's not going to be easy to reach it, you know, and you really have to sort of try and work and try and grow your audience and, you know, get people to understand that you're building yourself a brand, and that doesn't happen overnight.
Exactly. Yeah. Agreed.
And mini goals, I think, really helped us.
Yeah.
We would be like, okay, well, if 25 people listen in one day, we'll celebrate. And then we just kind of slowly built it up from there. So
yeah,
go ahead.
What you don't want to see is 25 one day, 20 the next, 18, 10, 5, 0.
Oh no, you will have those.
That would
days
be the
too
bad one, right?
Yep.
We've had those days.
We've had 0 days.
Where it's like, well, we had like 100 people listen to today, and then like the next day it's like 7. Like, wait a minute, what happened?
Yeah.
It's a buzzkill.
It is a buzzkill.
Like you think you're on your way up and then you just plummet right back down.
Yeah.
It's always fun looking at those charts and you're like, geez, I wonder what day I send out the podcast. You have these giant spikes.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
So, well, speaking of goals, like what are some goals? Because I know you guys are also striving to reach financial independence, and you have your blog and your podcast. You guys have like a lot going on. What are some of the goals that you do have?
I think most of our goals right now are all focused on mostly it's savings rate in budgeting and investing and just hitting that every month. Would you agree with that generally?
And we have like health goals as well.
Fitness and weight loss. So we talk about that quite a bit on our podcast, is those two dynamics is some of the more important things you should focus on setting goals for. So we do set goals every month on our calendar for mostly hitting budget, investing, net worth goals, and then the wellness side of things related to weight, waist circumference, and then some fitness objectives. We don't set a ton of goals for blog and podcast right now. I think the biggest reason for that is our biggest driver for doing podcast and blog right now is simply to just make connections and friends.
Yeah.
And because we don't really know many people in our day-to-day lives that are interested in what we talk about on the podcast. And so if we can bring guests on, and I'm sure you guys know this, is you can have conversations that's just fun.
Yeah.
And so we have fun doing it mostly. But it is fun. It is also cool to see over time, you know, slowly the audience is growing, and we're seeing that growth month to month. There's no doubt. And I think a lot of that just comes from the fact that we're having a good time where we're doing it, and we're pretty honest with what we talk about mostly.
Yeah, definitely.
So.
Yeah. And it also helps like being able to chat to almost anyone you want to. I mean, we have had quite a high success rate in terms of just pitching people. Like a lot of people want to be on the show, and the fact that you can talk to these almost like these celebrities, you know,
or people that they
it's
know what
really
they're
talking cool
about.
That, you know, like you'd be able to connect with these other people that are doing such a great job.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Well, the good news for you guys is we're signing a sheet of paper and sending it to you in the mail, since we're basically celebrities.
Yeah,
so you can thank us later.
We will treasure that forever. And when you are like,
it's going to go on my wall,
like super celebrity and everything, we'll probably sell it.
Yeah,
make
don't
sure
blame
you,
ya.
Make sure you date it. Okay. So
yeah,
Mrs. CTF, I also saw that you have like a monthly grocery budget update. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I'm trying to budget our groceries a little bit better, and I want to know what you're doing, because I think I saw for, like, was it your family of four?
Yes.
You are somehow feeding everybody for, like, a fraction of what we're, me and Dennis are eating.
Yeah, so since we've been really focusing on weight training, we've kind of bumped that up a little bit. We do $300 a month now. And usually when I tell people that, they look at me like I'm crazy, and they say things like, that's not possible. I think it's just something that's just happened over the years. Like, as we go along, I don't know, we just learned how to do things. We cook almost everything at home. Mm-hmm. We don't buy anything packaged, really. And that's just more or less A, to save money, and B, because Mr. CTF's really picky. But yeah, so I just decided, like, well, I'll just put a monthly update out there of, like, this is what our goal was, and this is what we ate with that. Like, it's like real food. Like, it's not crappy. We don't have beans and rice every meal. We do eat beans and rice a lot, not necessarily together, but that's just because beans are like a fiber and protein powerhouse. So,
yeah.
But yeah, so that's kind of the thoughts behind that, is just like kind of showing, like, here, and like, this is, I show like the receipts, and I kind of try to give somewhat of an explanation as to why I buy things, like, oh, this was on sale. And, oh, I deviate from the plan quite a bit because I find something shiny or beautiful or cheap at the store and grab that. So that's kind of, I guess, my thinking on behind that, but yeah, about 250 to 300. We feed the four of us about three meals a day.
That's impressive. And ironically, so when I lived at home with my mom, me and my mom would eat this like delicious bean. I don't know. It was like a bunch of beans and vegetables and everything. And somehow my mom made it so well. And I came home and we've been trying to eat a little bit better. And I was like, you know, I'm going to make that bean thing that my mom made. And we've been eating beans for like 4 days.
Yeah, like, I'm pretty beaned out right now.
And so you're like, we don't just eat like beans and rice. And I'm over here like, well, that's all we've been eating.
See, if I make a recipe, like some of these recipes I make, I mean, they make like 10 to 12 servings. And then like Mr. CTF, like he's usually good for like dinner and maybe like one or two lunches of the same leftovers. And he's like, all right, now we've got to like switch it up.
Yeah.
So the freezer is my friend. So we have lots of
things. It's kind of weird psychologically, though, because I literally have eaten the same breakfast for like 2 years in a row. And so like I ask myself, why can I eat the same breakfast 2 years in a row and I crave it? But for lunch and dinner, it's not that way.
I'm exactly the same.
You guys are exactly the same. Dennis eats the same breakfast every single day.
And I'm happy. I'm totally happy. Yeah. In fact, I look forward to it.
Two eggs.
Me too. Yeah, I dream about it before bed. Oh, I can't wait for that breakfast. But it's not the same with lunch or dinner. I don't know if that's just I'm so used to the routine. And if I force myself into it, I could do the same. And boy, life would be so much easier if you ate the same three meals every day. But I don't know. It's just weird.
We like variety. I like variety. I like making variety, too. But it's always great, though. Mr. CTF, CTF and I, we don't have quite the same tastes for food.
No.
So when he goes out of town, it's like heaven for me. And I'm like, yes, all right. We're going to have chickpeas and rice. And we're going to have
Sloppy Joes.
And we're going to have... And all the things that he absolutely hates. So he hates spaghetti. Like, I don't know how you could hate spaghetti.
How do you hate spaghetti?
I don't know.
Well,
I grew up on it.
Yeah, he grew up eating it a lot.
But I guess if it had meatballs in it, it would be a little bit better.
I make it with meatballs. You still don't like it. That's all right.
Let's not make that. Yeah.
Awesome. So you have opposed the new plan. What exactly is that about?
Well, there's a new plan now.
Oh, no, it's still the same plan.
Oh, it is?
So it's not plan. It's the updated new plan.
Well, like, I think we've reached, like, goals, like, 1 through 3 on the new plan.
Yeah.
So we had a plan to save $100,000 this year.
Go ahead.
And Mr. CTF decided that he was gonna go crazy with the two student loans that we had left. We decided not to pay those off a while ago because they were such low interest rates. But he decided that he couldn't handle it anymore, and so he bullied me and, well, maybe not.
Maybe convincingly told you.
He convincingly told. We had a whole podcast episode where we argued back and forth, but and he ended up winning. So we ended up deciding to pay off the debt. So we've been powerhousing through that. We got all of his student loans paid off now, so they're all gone.
You lucky duck.
Yeah, it was last month, actually, for me.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
My last one was supposed to get paid off this month, like this week or next week. But we had our Leaf for sale, our Nissan Leaf, and it sold a lot faster than we were expecting. So we had to hurry quickly and take the money that we were going to put towards the student loan and put it towards the Leaf payment, the Leaf loan, so it could get sold. So that was goal. That was also one of the goals, was to sell the Leaf and then basically just get rid of all debt. So my student loan.
Well, all the debt except for the mortgage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My student loan will get paid off either the end of July or the 1st of August, and then we will be 100% debt-free, and then we go back to saving most of our paychecks.
That's super exciting.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, I think it's the first time in our marriage that we have been debt-free minus a mortgage.
And the first time in our marriage, we haven't had a car payment, honestly, as well. So,
yeah.
And we've been married for 12 years now.
12 years.
So having a car payment for every one of those 12 years, except for at this moment, as of today, actually, is the first time. So we're pretty excited about that. Yeah.
Cool. Massive congratulations.
Yeah,
and with mortgages as well, that isn't really bad debt, as I like to call it. You know, because ultimately it's financing an asset that's not going to deteriorate. So
hopefully.
I don't really see that as big debt. So congratulations.
I'm so jealous about your student loan.
It sounds like you're fairly close too. I think, didn't I read that you have like 26K left or
25? I have 25 left. And after this month, 25. I'll have it probably about 24. I mean, it's nice. Like, there's the last couple of thousand, man. It drags.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, like, I haven't had the months where I'm making like $2,000 or $3,000 payments lately. Just because I'm starting up, I feel like I naturally do everything the hard way. So I decided to pay off all this debt. So naturally I decided to quit my job because that's, you know, super logical. And I quit my job, having a steady job where I've always had like a steady paycheck. Like I was a teacher and then I, you know, did a few things like here and there when I moved up to Virginia. And then I kind of decided I'm going to take this freelance thing and I'm going to take it and run with it. And I'm going to do it full time. And this is my new job. And the hustle is like, I'm still kind of learning about it. So you have some really great weeks and then you have some other weeks where you really learn what a hustle is.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning experience though. I mean, and also I think the first time you're doing something is obviously the hardest, you know, and it just gets easier from there. Once you sort of, you know, go around the road a couple of times in the corners and you hit a couple speed bumps, but eventually you learn exactly how you should do something. So it definitely is a learning experience. And, you know, I think that, like, all things considered, Katie's done quite a good job.
Thanks.
It sounds like you guys are killing it, honestly.
Yeah.
But I'm like ready to move to Thailand right now. I can tell the CTF, I'm like, we have enough saved. Let's just sell the house and get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
But it's probably not the best idea, but it would be an adventure. And that's what I really crave day to day is adventure. And you know, I'm not getting adventure at all. And it starts to wear on you, you know, just doing the same thing. And so I don't know how long we're going to be doing what we're doing now, but I feel like when our debt's paid off, we can really start throwing a ton of money into the stock market, and it doesn't make sense to pull the plug on that too soon. So I don't know what it looks like for us.
Yeah. Well, we keep telling ourselves 5 years. It might be a revolving 5 years, but for right now, it's 5 years. Yeah. 'Cause we think that we'll have enough saved in 5 years that we can basically move anywhere.
But right, that's good either. Though. Like, it's a 5-year plan.
Yeah. And the adventure is exciting. I actually was just talking to a girl on the airplane that I was sitting next to on my way home from Florida the other day. And she was like, where do you live and everything? And she was in this transition of living in Florida. And she got this job offer in California. And she wasn't sure what she was going to do with it. And I told her, like, well, I moved from Florida to D.C. like exactly a year ago. And it was the best thing I've ever done. Like, you definitely need to take this opportunity and run with it. And So now, like, I just want to tell you, like, yes, definitely, like, move to Thailand or or somewhere.
Yeah. And I think my thoughts are, it's like, if it doesn't work out, like, we can always move back to where we live right now. Like, we don't have to sell our house or whatever. We can, you know, rent it out for a year or have family crash in it or whatnot.
Exactly.
I'm just like, you know, let's just go and try it out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Although I don't know about Thailand for the first time. I told Mr. CTF, that's like a long plane ride. Like, maybe we can try like Mexico first and go live a year in Mexico. And then like family can still fly down and see us. And they might see us. I don't know. Our family fearmongers about Mexico a lot.
Well, not only Thailand, like, that's a completely different culture. That would be an extreme. Uh-huh. But like, or even like Canada.
Yeah.
I mean, brutally cold, but relatively similar and different.
Yeah. The thing is, we want really low cost too. In Canada, I don't know, from my understanding, Canada might be a hard sell there right now. Mm. Well, at least in a lot of the bigger cities in Canada.
Yeah.
So my biggest thing is I want to find some place that's warm year round. I don't like winter. I like the idea of maybe like coming back for like a month and being like, oh yeah, okay, I got my fill of snow. Let's go back to the warm.
Come back for Christmas.
Yeah. Pretty much. I think that's what we talked about. Yeah, we can come back for like, you know, Thanksgiving to Christmas and then leave again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I want to find some place that I like and it's warm. But Mr. CTF, he doesn't like to get too warm. So we have like this very narrow temperature range where we're both happy.
Yeah.
Well, definitely let us go know what you guys decide.
Yeah. And 5 years, you have plenty of time to figure it out.
Yep. So that's why we do a lot of our travel hacking. We go around and a lot of places that we go, we're checking it out. Yeah, we could live here. This wouldn't be too bad. So we're going to Portugal in October. And that's part of the reason for that, because that's on our list of places of possible moving to. So
awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
Take lots of pictures and post them.
I am terrible at taking pictures.
Record a podcast that's like 24 hours long and post it.
Just don't forget to do a lot of editing.
yeah, exactly.
Awesome. Chainers, we're just going to take a quick break and then we'll dive right back into the value link round. Chainers, no hard pitch today, but rather something that you should definitely check out. Katie's recently completed a post on why you should track your spending. It's actually really interesting and enlightening. So if you're considering, you know, like learning how to budget and stuff like that, this is definitely a post you want to check out. You can check it out at chainofwealth.com/spending. And let us know what you think of it. We appreciate all feedback.
Okay, guys. So why do you think that people struggle to achieve their dream?
Ooh, we're going to get into this one. Uh-oh.
It's a heavy one.
This is where the controversy comes in. Why do they struggle? So I think people generally get comfortable at their new level of life, wherever that might be. And I think it's hard to give up that level of comfort. And so I think a lot of people get into the situation where they need a certain amount of income to reach that level of comfort. And once they're there, it's hard to give that up for something else. So if your dream is to do X thing and you're not currently doing that, it's hard to be able to leave whatever you're doing to do that. And so I think that's a huge probably barrier for a lot of people to do that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a big thing. And my mind's gone blank. So it was something near that same vein is it might sound mean to say, like, I think they lack ambition, but I think that people fizzle out. Like, they don't keep their eye on like the long term.
Yeah. And I think a lot of times they don't want to do the work that's necessary for it to become a reality. Because for a couple of examples, like if you want to have a six pack, the amount of work and dedication it takes to get there is intense. And so most people, you know, that could be a year long process or more, depending on where you're starting from. People get discouraged pretty quickly along that journey and say, oh, it's not worth it. I'm fine how I am. And same, you know, starting a podcast, people are like, I want to be a podcaster, and they get into it and they realize it could take years and years to build an audience that would actually support a lifestyle off of it. And they just say, maybe it's not worth it in the end, you know? So I think a lot of times just giving up prematurely because they realize the amount of work that goes into it is intense.
Definitely makes sense. So do you have any other books or podcasts you could recommend for our listeners?
You can punt your own podcast.
The Countdown to 5-1 is great. It's about the only one I listen to when I edit it.
That is the only one you listen to.
I know. I don't listen to podcasts, and I run a podcast. It's not that like I don't like to hear. I love talking to people. And I love hearing their ideas, but like the time that I have to listen to a podcast, I usually just want to like decompress. Well, and so it's
you want
to
listen to Hamilton.
It's Hamilton. It's rap music. It's something
you need to dedicate yourself to podcasts. Know.
There we go.
Don't feel bad, because for a long time I didn't listen to podcasts either, and I hate to admit I don't listen to any other financial podcasts. Like they're all just like fun, ridiculous podcast.
So the only podcast I have ever listened to was Serial, and I heard that there's a second season. Maybe? I don't know. But I only got to season one of Serial.
Well, I'll jump in then. So I listen to a ton of podcasts, and probably too many for my own mental health. But whenever I bike to work in the morning, I listen to podcasts. When I walk at lunch, I listen to podcasts. And so most of them, my nature is once I'm interested in a topic, I download all the podcasts about that one topic and like laser focus and learning everything I can about it. And so when I started out initially learning about finances, I started with Dave Ramsey's podcast and quickly became sort of bored by that one because he hit the same thing over and over again, and it wasn't really high level enough in a lot of regards. So I kind of graduated to the Mad Scientist podcast. Radical Personal Finance was another one. Afford Anything was a big one. And then also Choose FI. I listened to all those quite a bit, and the guests they had on, I mean, you know, every time you hear a new guest say something that really you think, oh, I could maybe I could do something with that in my own life. And I mean, before you know it, you can get yourself a bachelor's degree just listening to podcasts on a topic. And, you know, obviously it's not the actual degree, but the level of knowledge you have is similar. So I'm a big fan of podcasts specifically.
Great.
Do you have any book? Do you have any book recommendations, Ms. CTF? I don't know.
Well, they're not personal finance either. But so I've been going to the thing that I've been trying to read all the biographies of all the presidents, which I would highly recommend, because there's all sorts of fun little facts and things that I think that people don't realize about American history and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can relate. I haven't read any of their biographies, but when we go to the museums and there's like presidential facts, like, I don't remember any of them, but they are fun to read.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Totally.
So do you guys have a favorite quote?
We don't have any favorite quotes. How bad is that? I sound like dullards.
I know. I was like, do I have any quotes anywhere? Like, I don't have quotes hung up anywhere. I don't know.
I'll tell you my favorite word, though. Is that a good substitute?
Sure.
I'd say resiliency and persistence. Two words.
Okay.
Yep. Those are powerful words.
They are powerful.
Yeah. So I don't know. Quote. Just throw a quote out there, Mr. CF. Do you have anything?
A quote right now. I do have one on the wall over here.
Oh, just do it. Just do it, Nike.
Definitely good counts.
Yeah. There probably are a lot of good ones in my head that are bouncing around. I just can't think of any right now. But
well, we're totally catching you out of the blue here with this one.
No worries.
It's okay.
Guys, we've absolutely loved hanging out today. Do you have any other last parting piece of advice for our listeners? And then we'll say goodbye.
I would say, try not to do what everyone else is doing, because most of the things everyone else is doing is why everyone's broke and fat.
And I would say, don't not do something. That's a double negative. But don't not do something because you're afraid of doing it. Because I think a lot of times you'll find out once you do it that it's not nearly as scary as you thought it was going to be.
Unless it's snake charming.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe snake charming. Such. Yeah. But, you know, I think a lot of times in our life we've been told, oh, a lot of fear mongering. Most recent one was like when we went to Mexico, and it was a blast. And
yeah.
Yeah. Don't let fear hold you back.
Awesome. Chainers, we've been hanging out with Mr. and Mrs. CTF. You can check out their website at countdown2fi.com and definitely check out their podcast as well. It's one of my personal favorites. Chainers, we're absolutely pumped we got to hang out with you today. And we would love if you could give us a little bit of feedback. If you're enjoying the show, or if you're hating it for that matter, leave us a review on iTunes. We really appreciate all feedback.
and it helps the podcast grow more than you could possibly know. We'll catch you on the flip side.